What is up, everybody? This is the Sharp Angles Podcast, the Sunday recap edition of the Sharp Angles Podcast for week 17 of the football season, which in my very recent memory meant that the football season was over, but not anymore. Tucker, we have another week. We have week 18 after this one. Week 17 was an interesting one. We had one big game that I don't think went, I think was not quite as close as people expected with the Ravens and Dolphins. Had some teams fall out of the playoff mix. We're going to talk about all of it as we recap this very interesting Sunday. I am joined this week, as I am every week, by Tucker Bagley, who I told him at the top I was just going to let him rant about how bad the Eagles are at this point. The Eagles defense, it was a train wreck today. It was dreadful against the Arizona Cardinals of all teams. Just a rough day, rough day.
Yeah, it looked like preseason football out there. It looked like 7-on-7. I'm starting to think Matt Patricia being the defensive coordinator wasn't the right move. Maybe that wasn't the move that was going to cure all of the defensive woes. Maybe it wasn't Sean Desai. They allowed, I think, at least 3 first down to the Cardinals on every possession. They allowed the Cardinals to get inside the red zone on every possession. The Cardinals didn't punt. The only time the Eagles stopped them was the end of the first half, where they knelt on it twice, and Sidney Brown's 99-yard interception return, which was an unbelievable play getting down the field. It was probably the highlight of the game. And yeah, I mean, you give up 29 points to a Cardinals team, you're up 21-6 at the half, right? They give up 29 in the second half. And this is a team now that everything seemed to sort of be going their way this weekend. You know, the Lions lost, which opened up their way to the 2 seed. All you have to do is beat a downtrodden Cardinals team and a Giants team that's pretty much packed it up, although they gave the Rams a scare today with how they played. But instead, they couldn't get out of their own way. And I think there are a lot of issues with this team. I think it's not just the defense. I think the offense has a lot of personality issues. It sure seems like A.J. Brown and Nick Sirianni can't coexist. And I think the odds of them both being in Philadelphia for week one next year are getting longer and longer with each passing day. And you look at this team and maybe they can figure things out in the next 2 weeks. Right now, I mean, it's pretty much a guarantee they're going to have to go to Tampa Bay or go to New Orleans in the wild card round. Like, they aren't going to host a playoff game. What we saw today might have been Jason Kelce's last game in Philadelphia, might have been Brandon Graham's last game in Philadelphia, might have been Fletcher Cox's last game in Philadelphia. And the way they performed, I mean, anybody who thought, hey, the schedule's tough, hey, they're still trying to figure it out, I just think back to the 10-1 start where they weren't playing well, and the thought was, well, when they figure it out, look out, because they'll be unstoppable. That might have been them figuring it out. Like what they did the first 11 games might have been them at their best. And what we're seeing now is them, you know, really just grinding. And I thought the offense played all right today, but when the defense, you know, allows the Cardinals to stay on the field for 40 plus minutes, you're not going to win. And for a team that had Super Bowl aspirations, it's starting to look like now, I'm sure they'll still be favored wild card weekend wherever they go on the road, but I don't think a lot of people will be confident that they can go on the road and win a playoff game anymore.
And that was going to be one of my first questions is, I assume it will still be Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay had a bad loss today to the Saints, but the Bucs just need to win one of the final two. And they have a game in Carolina next week, which you're going to like their chances in Carolina to win that game and to still win the division and make the playoffs. So I think it'll probably be the Bucs. And are you going to feel confident about that? Well, I mean, if Baker Mayfield plays the way he did today, you're going to feel okay about it. But you can't have any confidence in this defense. And I'm glad you brought up the time of possession. They were dominated in time of possession, 2-1 by the Cardinals. There was a 72-47 play difference in this game. The Cardinals averaged 6.2 yards per play and 5.5 yards per carry. 6.2 yards per play, that's like an elite offense if that's over the course of a season, if you're averaging 6.2 yards per play. And the offense, it didn't have a lot of opportunities, to be fair to the offense. And it's not like the offense was bad, but they are also not pushing the issue. They're also not, you know, forcing teams to become one-dimensional because they're playing aggressively in the first half and playing with pace in the first half to put offenses in a situation where their defense can be better and be, you know, in a more predictable situation. And so there's not a lot of complementary football happening here either. And so even if the offense on its own is fine, and it is fine, it has been fine, then they're still not doing what they need to do to help out the defensive side of the ball, which at this point in time is a train wreck. And you're right. I don't think that the division is up for grabs for them anymore. The Cowboys play the Commanders next week. The Commanders are suddenly in the number two draft slot, which for them with their quarterback situation is really important. If I were the Commanders, I would fire Ron Rivera immediately, and I would only promote anybody to interim head coach that would guarantee me to lose that game against the Cowboys, because what we've seen from Sam Howell now, we know that they need to address quarterback. They're suddenly in position to do it. They cannot win that game against the Cowboys. And so I think the Cowboys are in just a great spot here to win the division and to probably have the number two seed as well. And so, yeah, it's just a rough spot for the Eagles. But again, they're going to make the playoffs.
And you never know, right? And yeah, I look at it for next week, and you're right. The Cowboys, there should be no chance they lose to the Commanders. And if you're the Eagles, do you even bother playing your starters against the Giants? I know there's a chance they could technically get up to the two seed if both the Lions and the Cowboys lose. I think the Lions have the Vikings next week. But, if I were the Eagles, I would tell Jalen Hurts to sit down. I would play Jason Kelce one snap so he could keep his consecutive game started streak alive. And I would rest up and start preparing for the winner of the NFC South come wild card weekend. And I think the Eagles offense, even though it hasn't been terrible – philosophically, I think they've taken a huge step backward from last year. And I know people in Philadelphia love to run the football. There were chants and signs, and everyone was going nuts about it last week. And it did work. They were successful in the second half running the football. But, Brian Johnson, the offensive coordinator, had an interesting take this week when he was asked about it. And he said, with how great our team is on third down, we try to play for third down. We try to get in these third down situations. And if that's what you're doing, if I were Nick Sirianni and I heard that, I tell him to box up his things and go home. If your offensive coordinator is playing for third down and wants to be in third down situations, and I know the Eagles are a top three third down offense, and I think that's an indictment on what Brian Johnson's done, that they keep ending up in those situations. If they're playing for third down, you're not winning football games. That's just not how you do it in the modern NFL. And we saw that again today, where the two drives where they didn't score, it's because they decided to start running the ball and they got behind the sticks. I mean, the Cardinals gave them an opportunity with an onside kick with about 5 minutes to go. Hey, go take the ball 30 yards and score a touchdown. The Eagles ran the ball three times and kicked a field goal, and that's why they lost. I think there's a philosophical issue with this offense right now, and I think it's starting to grate on a lot of the players, too, who are getting frustrated.
What's better than being good at third down is not having third downs.
Being good at first down.
Far more. Yeah, first down.
And they're bottom five in yards on first down.
Yeah, being good at first down is much better and leads to much better offensive results than being good at third down, for sure. All right, we're gonna get off the Eagles, or I'm gonna let Tucker silently steam over his Eagles. I do want to remind you before we talk about the rest of the games this week that we have a great deal coming up. We only have one more week of the NFL regular season, but the postseason's coming up, and we've actually launched our postseason packages. They're all available now at sharpfootballanalysis.com. Our weekly postseason package is available. If you buy the weekly postseason package, not only will you get the first week of the postseason, you'll get the final week of the regular season as well. You'll get the rest of our bowl selections. Our bowl selections have been wild. I think we're 7-0-1 in bowl selections. All of that. You can get all of that if you purchase the weekly postseason package, and you can get it for 71% off using promo code GET71. We've been on fire since the start of November. That has continued, like I said, through the bowls, through everything we're doing in the regular season. And I'm feeling really good about where we are in the postseason as well. So make sure you jump on board. All right, let's get to that Ravens game, that Ravens crushing, absolutely crushing the Dolphins to secure the bye week. The Ravens have had, that Eagles run that we're now, like, that's now a distant memory for us, but they had a really good run there where some of the games they were winning, and especially how they were winning the games, that game against the Bills specifically. But these last 2 weeks the Ravens have had, that's probably a better run when we're looking at what they've done. They're able to secure the number one seed. They're able to secure the bye week. In this game against the Dolphins, they were losing by 3 points at the end of the first quarter. The rest of the way, they outscored the Dolphins 49-9. I guess Lamar Jackson's quarterbacky enough, right, for the MVP? We think he's quarterbacky enough now. one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is, you know, probably going to run away with the MVP now. Like, I don't really know what we need to say about this Ravens team. They are one of the best teams in the AFC. I am very interested, though, about the Dolphins because of where this puts them. They suddenly find themselves in a division championship game with the Bills next week in week 18. We saw them lose Bradley Chubb, probably out for the season. You can kind of elaborate on what you think about that and why he's even in the game at that point. They lost Jalen Phillips earlier in the season in a very similar situation, right? Why was he even in the game in that one? Xavier Howard got hurt. I believe he aggravated his foot injury. Tua had a shoulder injury. He said after it that the shoulder's fine, but he has a shoulder injury. I don't know, Tucker. This is not looking great for the Dolphins as we head here into the final week of the season.
No, and it's funny. It feels eerily similar to last year. And granted, Tua is still on the field, so that they still have a fighting chance. They're not going to be going in with their backup quarterback into a playoff game. But, yeah, you look at them, and they're limping towards the finish line. And once again, it's kind of ironic because, you know, Mike McDaniel was so dismissive early on in the season. They said, oh, you're so great through 5 weeks. He said, well, we want to be great through 18 weeks. And this is now the second straight year where through 5 weeks, they looked like, you know, maybe if not the best team in the NFL, certainly a legitimate Super Bowl contender. And here we are, you know, 5 hours away from January, and they're limping towards the finish line again. And they're kind of set up in a position now where if they don't win next week and they have to go on the road in the wild card, probably not going to be favored in that situation either, depending on who wins the AF or, you know, depending on the AFC South situation. I bet they would probably be.
Yeah, they'd be favored against, I mean, it'll be the Jaguars, Texans, or Colts. Yeah, I'm going to like their chances of being favored in that one. But like, if Trevor Lawrence is healthy, or if CJ Stroud is healthy and that defense in Houston is healthy, Will Anderson was back today, right? I continue to not think the Colts are very good, but the Colts beat the Raiders today. The Colts could be the champion of the AFC South. And I'm going to continue to say that, but yeah, like, it's not going to be an easy game if they're forced to go on the road and play that team, if kind of the people we want to be healthy are healthy for those teams.
Yeah, and this is a team that we've been begging to beat a contender all year, right? Like, begging to say, hey, show us that you aren't just a team that beats up on bad teams. And it's funny, watching today's game, I thought, is this the best Lamar Jackson's ever looked? Is this the best this Baltimore Ravens team has ever looked? And the only game I thought of was week one of his MVP campaign, which was against a very different Miami Dolphins team with Brian Flores, and they're trying to lose. But it was the same thing. Like, Mark Jackson went 17 for 20 for 324 yards that day, had a perfect passer rating, 5 touchdowns. Today he was 18 of 21 for 321 yards, 5 touchdowns, and a perfect passer rating. Like, he did the same thing to this Dolphins team that's a, you know, playoff contender. I don't know if they're a Super Bowl contender, but they're a legitimate playoff team. They have 11 wins against a team 3 years ago that was tanking, that was trying not to win. I mean, he just shredded them today and made it look easy. Like that felt like a Big 12 game where you have a Heisman candidate quarterback going in against Texas Tech or Mizzou, and he's just going to ball out.
Justice Hill was open always. Like, every time I looked up, and it was really tough this early slate because there were 10 games on at the same time.
Yeah, they had a team box on Red Zone to start, which I've never seen before.
It was wild. But every time I'm looking up, Justice Hill is open, and he's just running down the field. And that's Justice Hill. Like, no disrespect on Justice Hill, but you're not talking about a playmaker. What I have to say about the Dolphins, though, is just last week they beat the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. So they did finally do what we wanted them to do. They beat the Cowboys. The Cowboys are probably going to be the number 2 seed in the NFC. They beat them, right? And then you follow that up, and albeit they didn't have Jalen Waddle. They have their injury issues on the offensive line. All of that those are all valid things to bring up when we talk about this game, but they weren't in it after the first quarter, and that is definitely a concern given if you want to be considered with the Ravens as one of the best teams in the AFC. Now, what I also could say to this is the Ravens might just be far and away the best team in the AFC, and no one's going to touch them. We'll talk about the Chiefs later. The Bills, you know, they have their issues with playing up and down to competition. The Browns, great story. Joe Flacco, and, you know, is this going to continue? Can we keep this going? Like, there are questions for every other one. For the Ravens, I don't really have any questions anymore. We're just like, all right, let's get to the playoffs and let's hope Lamar stays healthy and let's see what we can do.
But I mean, is the question still that they haven't really won a big playoff game, right? Like, it feels silly to say this because Lamar Jackson has been so great in the regular season. He's, you know, a week away from, you know, sealing up his second league MVP in the last 4 years, but we still haven't seen him do it. And it feels like a broken record, and it feels weird saying it, but this is a team that with this coach and with this quarterback, they haven't had success in the postseason before. And I don't know. I don't want to be the guy who constantly doubts Lamar Jackson, because he's been unbelievable this season, and he's going to win MVP, and rightfully so. But we haven't seen them do it in January. We haven't seen them, you know, and they won't have to go into Arrowhead, or they won't have to go into Cincinnati or Buffalo, right? Like, they have home field advantage locked up. They aren't going to play in wildcard weekend. They'll be at home. They have the easiest path to the Super Bowl that anyone does right now. But I don't know. I look at that team and what they've done in the postseason. Lamar Jackson hasn't been healthy in the postseason in each of the last 2 years. But until I see them do it, much like the Dolphins, until I see them beat a legitimate AFC contender, I'm still going to have doubts in the back of my mind about just how easy Baltimore can make it look come playoff time.
Actually, and it's funny, I'm now looking at the playoff picture, and we talked about if the Dolphins lose to the Bills, them going to the AFC South. That's not what would happen, is it? If they – well, I'd have to see what the tiebreakers are with the Browns. I'm trying not to forget about the Browns, because the Browns already have everything locked up. The Browns are basically going to have nothing to play for next week. And so I kind of like I'm forgetting, oh, yeah, the Browns are the fifth seed right now. If the Dolphins lose – I'm not sure how those tiebreakers will work, if the Browns are even going to play people next week. So, yeah, it could be a possibility where they have to go. If the Dolphins lose next week, it could be a situation where they're going to Arrowhead, which
is much different.
Where the Chiefs are right now, I don't know. Like that would be very fascinating to watch that. Watch that for sure. The other number one seed also locked up today, and that's with the 49ers. I mean, I watched, you know, you watch this game and the 49ers, it never really felt like they were in danger. It didn't also really feel like they were stomping the Commanders, a Commanders defense that, you know, is very vulnerable to everything. So that was a bit odd. I continue to wonder, is Purdy hurt? Like, he had a good game, obviously. His numbers look great. He played Commanders. He has a good game. But I wonder if he's hurt. I just don't know. But now they have 2 weeks. They have nothing to play for next week against the Rams. They have 2 weeks. They're going to get him healthy. We'll see what's happening with Christian McCaffrey. I was wondering, one of the biggest questions I want to ask you, he didn't play a lot late in this game. We saw Elijah Mitchell come in and do what he needed to do. That's why, by the way, you have Elijah Mitchell. Please just play Elijah Mitchell next week and let Christian McCaffrey rest. But with this calf injury, is that something that worries you as we move in here, or with these 2 weeks essentially that they have off, do you think that he'll probably be fine?
I think with the 2 weeks, he'll probably be fine. But Christian McCaffrey is a guy who, you go back to the end of his Carolina Panther tenure and why they felt comfortable kind of moving on from him and letting him go to San Francisco, was he had injuries like this that lingered, right? Like, he had a hamstring injury, I think, week three of 2021, and he never played again. Yeah, I think he came in for one game, played a half, got a shoulder injury, and never played again. He's had groin injuries. He's had calf injuries that have lingered. Like, this is a guy who, when he's healthy, he's the best running back in the NFL, possibly the best offensive weapon in the NFL. But the reason why he kind of flamed out in Carolina was because he wasn't on the field all the time, because these soft tissue injuries lingered. So that would give me a little bit of pause. Now, I also wonder, because he was out most of the second half today, and kind of where the 49ers are. I mean, they put up 400 yards of offense. They just struggled to punch it in the red zone. 49ers are a team that they like to sort of play with their food. I said it a couple weeks ago, like, they're going to be tied 10-10 with every team midway through the second quarter, and then they check their watch and decide, you know what, let's just boat race them, and then they win by three touchdowns. And that's today. It was 10-10 midway through the second quarter, and a lot of people in Philadelphia, as the Eagles were up 15 points on the Cardinals, were saying, uh-oh, here we go. We have a shot at the one seed if we can win, you know, hold on to this one and beat the Giants next week. And then the 49ers
that
just
turned a little bit.
It was a much different time about 90 minutes later when the 49ers won by 17 and the Eagles did not. But I just look at the 49ers and they're just operating on such a different level than every other team, that even a game like this, like, they weren't super impressive against Washington, but they moved the ball with ease. They did what they had to do. And I don't know, they're just a team right now that they tend to just play even in the first half. And then by the time the third quarter, the fourth quarter rolled around, they pull away with ease. It's pretty impressive when you consider Kyle Shanahan and what he's done in his career, and him not really being known as a guy who has success in the second half. The 49ers are a team this year that have just been so dominant after halftime, just coming out and putting their foot on the throat of their opponents.
Yeah, and that's funny. Like, I'm glad you mentioned this, that, like, I'm like, oh, Brock Purdy wasn't that impressive. But then you go and it is because this game was closer than we thought it was going to be for longer than we thought it was going to be. But then you go look at the numbers. He was 22 of 28, 8.2 yards per attempt, two touchdowns, 124.7 quarterback rating. You'll take that from your quarterback. It's one of those, like, I guess we have such high expectations for this team because for the entire season, they've been averaging like 6.4 yards per play or something wild like that. And so when it's not perfect against a defense you expect them to destroy, you go, oh, I don't know about how all this is going. But yeah, they're going to be fine. They are obviously one of the two best teams in the league for sure. We mentioned this when we were talking about the Dolphins, the Bills. The Bills were able to win this week. They held on against the Patriots. To be fair to the Bills, the Patriots' defense is good. The Patriots' offense is not good, but their defense is still very good. And so you could see why they might struggle a little bit against that. But this Bills team continues to be the one team in the NFL that you think could beat any other team and also lose to any other team in any given week. And this roller coaster that this team is on is wild, and it could continue because if they beat the Dolphins next week, they're going to be the number two seed. They're going to win that division and be the number two seed. If they lose to the Dolphins next week, then they could miss the playoffs if results go against them. If the Steelers win, I believe they'd miss the playoffs. And so this roller coaster is just going to continue to roll on for this team. And it's been one of the wildest seasons that I can remember for a team that I think is really good, that I think is still one of the elite teams in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, they're just a high-variance team, and I think it's because they're led by a high-variance quarterback. I mean, Josh Allen's a guy right now that I think if you made a list of, you know, the quarterbacks who had won, if you had one game to win, if you could pick any quarterback, it'd be a very short list of guys before you got to Josh Allen, right? It would be Patrick Mahomes, it would be Lamar Jackson, maybe Joe Burrow if he's healthy, and then, you know, Josh Allen would kind of be among that group. And then you go out and look what he did today. It was 15 of 30, 150 yards a pick, had a pass rating of 53, and that offense struggled. He mentioned that Patriots defense is really good. They would score 21 points because of a kick return by Jalen Reagor at the beginning of the game. They only put up two offensive touchdowns in the final, you know, 59 minutes of the game. The Bills still put up 27 and they were fine. But yeah, you just kind of look at what he's done this year, and on a week to week basis, you just don't know what guy you're going to get. Cause he's had games where he's looked like the MVP, where he's probably played as just as high as level as Lamar Jackson, maybe even higher. And then you have games like today where you kind of watch and it just doesn't seem like it's all there. He looks confused. The offense just doesn't seem to roll the right way. And maybe him and Joe Brady are still trying to figure things out and have a few kinks to work out before the postseason. But it's just he's such an odd quarterback to watch, because I think on any given Sunday, you don't really know what you're going to get. Are you going to get an MVP candidate? Or are you gonna get a guy who looks like Carson Wentz?
And that high variance, though, is, I mean, it's why if they make the postseason, I mean, I'm going to like their chances. I'm not going to say that they're going to be the favorite. They're certainly not. The Ravens are the favorite. The 49ers are the favorite, and for good reason. But would you be shocked if the Bills end up in the Super Bowl? Absolutely not.
Like, no, absolutely. Would you be shocked to lose on Wild Card Weekend? Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Like, that's where we are with this team. And it's such an interesting team, and it'll be fascinating to watch which version of them shows up in Miami next week. I'm pretty sure it is in Miami, if I'm remembering off the top of my head, next week. I assume that game will be on Sunday night. It's in Miami. I would be surprised if that's not the game that is flexed to Sunday night, the last game of the season. Man, all of that sets up for just the most fun Josh Allen game you've ever seen in your entire life. Moving on to the AFC South, all three of the contenders in the AFC South ended up winning. The Jaguars shut out the Panthers. Trevor Lawrence didn't play in that game. The defense stepped up when they needed to. CJ Beathard, don't call him Beathard, they did enough, and they were able to win that game. Travis Etienne finally showed up, had a big run, a long touchdown run. And so they're in a great spot. If they beat the Titans next week, they win the division. I'm interested in your opinion on Trevor Lawrence, kind of based on what you saw with the injury reports this week. Do you think we're going to get him in week 18 in that game against the Titans? Like, how are, it seemed to me like this was the first time that Trevor Lawrence all the other times where we've been like, all right, Trevor Lawrence, he's going to play through it. This was the first time where the Jaguars was like, I don't really know if he's going to play through it, because he's been an Iron Man. He played through tons of situations where we just didn't expect him to play this season. But this one felt a little more by like, I don't know. And that gives me some pause about what we're going to see here in the season finale.
Yeah, and it certainly, like, if you look at the schedule, they could certainly beat the Panthers without Trevor Lawrence. Right? The Panthers are a hapless organization. Their owner's throwing drinks on Jaguars fans.
No, can I? I'm just going to interrupt you for a second. Go to Warren Sharp's Twitter account and find the video of Tepper. Wild behavior from an NFL owner. Absolutely wild behavior from an NFL owner. Sorry, continue.
As someone who became a Panthers fan for 2.5 years because they hired, you know, my buddy Matt Rhule, I think David Tepper is the worst owner in the NFL. Like, if you want to know why the Panthers can't win, it's because David Tepper owns them and he has no idea what he's doing. But back to Trevor Lawrence. If you look at, you know, his career, and today was his first start he'd ever missed, and I even wrote it in the injury report this week, like, he had a high ankle sprain, played through it, had a concussion, graduated concussion protocol within a week, played through it, no problem. And then this week it was like, oh, hold on. And maybe it was because they had the Panthers on the schedule, because they had a good feeling that their defense could shut out Bryce Young and they wouldn't need much. I mean, they played pretty conservatively, especially through the first half. They kicked, you know, 3 field goals, were up 9-0 at halftime. Then ETN broke off that long run to kind of break it open. So if you want to be positive, you could certainly say that they kept him out because they know that kind of next week is a quasi win and end situation against Tennessee and is a huge game for that franchise and for Trevor Lawrence. But the fact that he was out, I do think, kind of says a lot, because I think he's someone who takes pride in playing every game, has played through a lot of injuries throughout his career so far. So it does give me pause that this was finally the time where they said, just not going to get it done, not going to be able to get out on the field today. And going into next week against Tennessee, who isn't necessarily a hapless team, they could certainly put up a fight and probably would enjoy knocking off a division rival, you know, before heading into the offseason. It's going to be an interesting game because I don't think you can beat them with C.J. Beathard playing the way he played today, even though he was fine. He had 17 completions for about 180 yards. He didn't give the game away, but I think you're going to need to do more against a Tennessee defense that's a little more talented than what Carolina has to offer.
Yeah, I mean, what we saw from the Titans today against the Texans wasn't great. But the Texans defense specifically, with the way they stopped the run, and I mean, you can go look at Derrick Henry's stats over the last 3 weeks, two of those against the Texans, and that'll tell you what you need to know about that team. The Titans don't match up well with the Texans. The Jaguars are going to Tennessee. Tennessee is a different team, has been a different team at home this season. And we've seen this play before with the Jaguars needing a win against a Titans team they should have beat. Should beat, and it not working out. If I'm remembering correctly, I think if I'm remembering my AFC lore, AFC South lore correctly.
Are you thinking about when the Colts lost to the Jaguars?
Or was it the Colts losing to the Jaguars? Am I messing up my AFC South lore?
Yeah, that was 2 years. That was when Carson Wentz was with the Colts, and they lost to the Jaguars the last week of the season. As someone who had the Colts win total under that season, and I just took the Jaguars that day as well. On the money line for about 3-1. That was a profitable day in the Bagley household.
Yeah, there you go. That's the one. Man, this AFC South is wild every single year.
Do you think we should realign the divisions? The fact that the AFC South and NFC South are so hapless.
I absolutely love this division. And quietly, I mean, this division, the Jaguars, if they can fix their defense and Trevor Lawrence can take a step forward, they're in a good position. The Texans are in a great position. Like, I think they're going to be some good teams coming out of this division. The Colts get Anthony Richardson back, figure out some stuff on the other side of the ball. They could be a good team. The Titans are kind of in a weird spot. But yeah, I think this division is fine. And as a childhood Oilers fan, I'm not a Titans fan anymore. They left Houston. Stop wearing those jerseys, please. But as a childhood Oilers fan, there's something about this division that I love. Speaking of Houston, speaking of the Texans beat those Titans today, absolutely dominated them with CJ Stroud getting back. The Colts held on against the Raiders. I mean, you can say what you want about the Colts doing that. The Raiders were in the playoff race until today. And so the Raiders were certainly not a pushover team. The Colts were able to win. That sets up a meeting next week that is essentially a win and end game. If the Texans win, they're in. If the Colts win, they're in. It's going to be an Indy. I continue to think, and I, sorry Colts fans, The Colts keep winning, and if they make the playoffs, it is what it is. Good on them. I continue to think the Colts aren't as good as teams like the Texans and the Jaguars. I continue to think their offense just, it's not quite there. Their defense is not quite great. But you got a home game to, if you beat the Texans, you're in the playoffs. I think anything can happen in that game, and it's going to be a really interesting one.
Yeah, and I kind of on the same board as you. If CJ Stroud is playing, he's far and away better than Gardner Minshew. I think the Texans defense is far more talented than what the Colts have right now. But I also think, like, if Indianapolis wins, what Shane Steichen's done this season there has, I think, gone completely under the radar. The fact that Anthony Richardson, a guy who came in the NFL and no one thought he'd be ready to start week one because of how raw he was, how kind of poorly he threw the ball at the University of Florida. And he looked like a rookie of the year candidate before he got hurt the first 4 or 5 weeks or so. Then you bring in Gardner Minshew, who's, you know, kind of just the funny backup quarterback that no one ever takes seriously. And you're in the situation now where you have a playoff game, and you look what the Eagles have done offensively since he left. And you kind of look at what Shane Steichen's done now in his career, where he developed Justin Herbert, and Justin Herbert hasn't been the same since he left. He developed Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts and that offense hasn't been the same since he left. And now you look what he's doing in Indianapolis with Anthony Richardson to start of the year, with Gardner Minshew, who Gardner Minshew is probably just as good, if not, you know, maybe a little worse than some of the guys that Frank Reich had to deal with during his time in Indianapolis. And you see what Shane Steichen's gotten out of him. I mean, Shane Steichen, I don't know if he's on the level of, you know, McDaniels or anybody like that when it comes to best offensive coaches in the NFL, but I just think what he's done really throughout his career, but especially this season, it's gone completely under the radar.
You said McDaniels. I want to give you a chance to correct yourself. Shanahan?
I meant Shanahan. Yeah.
I wanted to let you go.
No, I meant Shanahan. Yeah. I was scrolling through in my head for that, and I got to
McDaniel.
M.
McDaniel and Shanahan. Yep. Not Josh McDaniel.
No, I was thinking Shanahan. I meant Mike McDaniel, and instead I said Josh McDaniels and ruined it for everybody. In 2007, that would have been a good take, though.
Yeah, that would have been a great one. I do want to make it clear with this Colts team. This is me not thinking that they're as good as the other teams has everything to do with the roster. Shane Steichen's been amazing. And in any other year, Shane Steichen and Sean McVay would have great cases for the coach of the year. The problem is that Kevin Stefanski is going to lead the Browns to a number 5 seed, right, with 4 quarterbacks. So, like, there you go. Like, I don't really know what else you're going to do with that information. But yeah, Steichen deserves all the praise he's getting for what this team is. And we've seen this team be able to build talented rosters in the past and build a very good offensive line and a very, very good defensive situation. And where they are when they get Anthony Richardson back, I do think the future is looking very, very good for this team. And it looks like they hit on their coach, which that really matters. It also looks like the Texans hit on their coach. So that's what I'm saying about this division. This division is very interesting as we move forward. All right, let's move on to the Chiefs and Bengals. I mean, the Bengals, they lost this game. They stayed in it throughout the entire thing. It was a good showing for them. They are eliminated now for the playoffs because the Steelers were able to beat the Seahawks. We'll talk about that in a second. So I don't really think we need to spend a lot of time on the Bengals, except to say them staying in this as long as they did with the injury situation to Joe Burrow, both to start the season and then the way they started the season, and then now being without Joe Burrow for a while, what they were able to do with Jake Browning and how they designed the offense around them, all of that is very commendable. And we could talk about that in the offseason with kind of when we're talking about that team. But unfortunately, they're not going to be in the playoffs. The Chiefs are going to be in the playoffs. By winning this game, they won the division. If they had lost this game, by the way, they would have been it would have been tricky next week with the Broncos. The Broncos could have still won this division if the Chiefs had lost the Bengals. That's how wild this season has been. So the Chiefs beat the Bengals, and, you know, there you go. They're going to be in the playoffs, and they're going to get a home game, and that's that. But, I mean, this Bengals defense is bad. Like, they're bad. Mason Rudolph was able to do work against this Bengals defense. And for the majority of this game, there were some big plays. Rashee Rice got deep for some big plays and had some nice plays. But for the majority, Isaiah Pacheco had a good game. But for the majority of this game, this Chiefs offense couldn't move the ball against the Bengals defense. And that's, I mean, it's a problem. We are at a very real crossroads here for this season, for this team. And they said, you know, we got the reports coming into this game that they're going to condense the offense. They're going to use fewer players. They're going to simplify it. That didn't work against the Bengals defense that has been crushed for the last month and a half. I don't know what to think about this team going into the playoffs. Ultimately, they have Patrick Mahomes. That gives you a chance always, but it's not looking great as we stand right now.
No, and it's funny, you look at the score and, you know, 25-17, Mahomes was 21-29 for 240. That's great, but they scored one touchdown, right? Like Isaiah Pacheco scored a touchdown 3 minutes ago in the first quarter. After that, you got six Harrison Butker field goals to make up the difference,
yep.
Right? To get you to 25. And yeah, this is an offense that, you know, I think we talked about it like a month ago that Andy Reid offenses tend to do this, maybe not every year, but every couple of years. And then he figures something out, adds a new wrinkle, and off they go. And just hasn't really happened this year. And they had drop issues. Marquez Valdes-Scantling had a couple issues again today. Kelce only had three catches for 16 yards. He continues to look like a shell of himself. Although I think he's third among tight ends in catches and like second in receiving yards. Like as we talk about the downfall of the great Travis Kelce, he's still producing like a top five tight end in football. It just goes to show how high the standard was.
That says more about the tight end position currently in the NFL than I think it does Kelce. But you're right. I mean, he is still producing like.
But I mean, this is an offense tight end that was built around him, right? Like this is an offense that they said we don't need Tyreek Hill, we don't need big name wide receivers because we have Travis Kelce and he can get open at all three levels and really make this offense go. And Rashee Rice had a big day. He had like a 60-yard catch. He had five catches for 127 yards, but other than that, I mean, nothing really worked for this team. And we're now getting late in the season. You only have one game left before you're going to have to play, you know, in Wild Card weekend. And, yeah, if you're a Chiefs fan, I think maybe for the first time since Patrick Mahomes got here, I don't know if you're necessarily going into the playoffs thinking we're the Super Bowl favorite. We're the team that everyone's looking at. We have to be. Now you are the reigning champions. And you know, I think that does, you know, hold a little bit of weight around the NFL. But I mean, there's a good shot that come division weekend, like they might be an underdog wherever they go. Not only will Patrick Mahomes play his first road playoff game in his career, he might be an underdog in the postseason, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, that's assuming like they could legitimately have to face the Dolphins or Bills next week, and it'll be at home, you know, and so that'll be an advantage. But you're not next week, sorry, in the wild card weekend. That's a tough road. That's a tough road here. And so it's, you know, it's not, they're not in a great spot, but ultimately they have Patrick Mahomes. And so there you go. They have a defense that is actually pretty good. And so ultimately, you know, we'll kind of see where that goes. Like I said, the Bengals were eliminated from the playoffs here because the Steelers beat the Seahawks. The Steelers ran all over Seattle, just absolutely ran all over Seattle. George Pickens has been unlocked over the last 2 weeks. He went 7 for 131 here. I kind of thought what we saw from this offense with Mason Rudolph was just the Bengals, because the Bengals defense, like I said, is that bad. They were able to do it again here. They're kind of in a bad spot from as the playoffs go. I don't know how likely they are to make it, because I think they really need Buffalo to lose, because I mean, one of Indianapolis and Houston is probably going to win. I mean, we'll see. You know, they could tie, I suppose, and then things get pretty interesting. They probably need Buffalo to lose to make the playoffs, and they also obviously they need to win against Baltimore. That suddenly looks easier because Baltimore has nothing to play for. I mean, are we going to see more Mike Tomlin magic? Is this where we're going with this team?
Yeah, the Steelers are a team that I feel, I don't know, maybe I counted them like 5 weeks ago because their offense is so bad. Matt Canada was such a disaster. And I don't know what Mason Rudolph has done the last 2 weeks. Kind of makes me feel better about how I felt this team preseason-wise. Like, I thought George Pickens was going to have an unbelievable year and kind of disappointed for most of the season. Now the last 2 weeks, as he sat on my bench in fantasy, he's turned into, you know, a top-five wide receiver in football, just like that. And it wasn't just him, right? Deontay Johnson had four catches for 76 yards. Freiermuth had 3 for 44, including, like, a 25-yard catch. Like, the offense has just been unlocked with Mason Rudolph. And I think if you're the Steelers and you've watched this team now the last 2 weeks, can you turn the reins back over to Kenny Pickett, knowing how good this offense has looked, and not just for next week and the end of 2023, but what do you do beyond this point? If a quarterback like Mason Rudolph, who I think is as replacement level as it gets, can unlock these guys and make them look as good as they have. I don't know. You don't want to give up on a kid after, you know, just 2 years, but I think if you're the Steelers, you have to have legitimate questions about the quarterback and who you're who's handling the reins of your offense. Cause even Najee Harris, like, he had 27 carries for 122 yards. He hasn't done that since he was, you know, in college. Like, what this team has done the last couple weeks has been mind blowing based on the standard they set up until that point.
Yeah, it's been different. But the problem they have, if we're looking beyond this year, right, the problem they have is they're going to continue to be picking in the exact same spot in the draft, right there in that middle of the draft. And if you're picking in that spot, it becomes hard to get the quarterback that you need to really elevate the offense. If you don't think that Kenny Pickett is that guy, I do still think it's fair to say that Kenny Pickett maybe hasn't gotten the fairest shake given the offensive coaching situation for most of his career. But yeah, you're right that Mason Rudolph comes in and this offense has suddenly looked better. What I will say about the Rams, about the run game, is that this Seahawks run defense, and we could transition to talk about them a little bit. The Seahawks run defense has been vulnerable. The run defense continues to let them down. The Steelers did whatever they wanted to on the ground today, but I think the Seahawks defense had played some role in that. Are we sure at this point that Geno Smith is the Seahawks' best option at quarterback? Are we having that conversation? I mean, as it stands right now, and we'll have to see, we're recording this before the Vikings and Packers play, and I believe if the Vikings win, they would jump the Seahawks. I'm not really sure how that works out with the playoffs. We are recording this right after the game's end, so some of the playoff stuff, like with the Steelers and the Seahawks and the Vikings and the Packers, is still up in the air, requires more calculations than I'm able to do in my feeble brain. But they're in an odd situation, but if they beat the Cardinals next week, they at least have a decent shot to make the playoffs. Would you make that quarterback change going into that game? I don't know. They're in a very odd spot because, 8 weeks in the season, this looked like a locked-in playoff team, and now this is where we are with this team, losing at home to Mason Rudolph and the Steelers. It's been an odd season for Seattle.
It's been really up and down. And you're right. Like, I think week 8, like, it was them, and, you know, after the 49ers went on that 3-game losing streak, there was a shot that they could jump the 49ers, and now they look like, you know, they're playing, you know, two different sports, with the Seahawks only 8 wins and the 49ers wrapping up, you know, the number one seed in the NFC today. But yeah, I don't know if Geno Smith was necessarily the issue, right? Like, he had 290 yards. He had a really long run for like 25 yards late in the third quarter that helped set up a scoring opportunity. But it's just a weird team. And I think Geno Smith has kind of settled into just being fine. I think this might be his ceiling. I don't know if he inspires a lot of elite quarterback play. And I think if I'm the Seahawks moving forward, you kind of know what his ceiling is. And I don't know if it's enough right now to elevate the kind of team that they are with the defense they have and you know, the players they have surrounding him on offense.
Yeah, he did lose a fumble in a pretty inopportune time. And so I think that is also living in my brain as well. But yeah, I mean, are you going to bench him for Drew Locke? Drew Locke had that comeback. I mean, you remember the Drew Locke comeback, I'm sure.
Yeah, but that was a weird game because they wouldn't let him throw the ball until the last possession. And then they said, oh, we have DK Metcalf. Let's start giving him the ball. I mean, if they just let him throw to DK Metcalf all 4 quarters, they would have put up 40 points.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe that says more about what they think about Drew Locke, that they didn't really let him throw the ball the way they let Geno Smith throw the ball today.
As someone who had the DK Metcalf over in that game, I was lamenting, hey, but it all worked out. Everything wins a win, right? That Seahawks loss does lock in the Rams to the playoffs. They survive in New York, an absolute survival. The Giants go for 2 at the very end. They're not able to get it. They should have gotten it if Tyrod Taylor just runs it in. I think they get it. And the Rams are in an odd spot, but they're officially in the playoffs. Their game next week against the 49ers is absolutely meaningless to both teams at this point. It'll be interesting to see how they play it. I think the thing to take away from the Rams is the offense with their 3-star offensive players, with Kyren Williams, Cooper Kupp, and Puka Nacua. That offense with those 3 guys on the field, this offense is elite. It is one of the best in the NFL. They average 6.4 yards per play today. They're amazing. It is concerning that in the last 3 games, they've allowed all 3 of those games to be close at the end when they appear to be the better team. The defense it looks to be a concern as we head into the playoffs. And as they play the better teams in the NFC, that might end up being their Achilles heel. But either way, I mean, this has been a great season for the Rams. They're in the playoffs. Nobody expected that heading into the season. This has been an absolutely great job by Sean McVay, by Matthew Stafford, by the rest of this team. It's just it's been a very good season, no matter where it goes from here.
Yeah, you just wonder kind of if they've hit their ceiling, right? And we talked about for a while that, you know, their offense and with how explosive they can be, they could compete with anybody, right? Any of the NFC, you know, contenders, if their offense gets on a roll, no matter how, you know, porous their defense is, and they gave up, I think, 5.8 yards per play to Tyrod Taylor today, who is far and away better than Tommy DeVito. Like, can we just mention that for a second? That
yeah,
having Tommy DeVito play over Tyrod Taylor the last, like, 4 weeks was just ridiculous. By the Giants.
Yeah, I'm very confused. I love the Tommy DeVito experience. The Italian in me that grew up eating my grandma's cooking loves the whole Tommy DeVito cutlet, the Rouse jarred sauce controversy with him. All of that was super fun. But yeah, it's pretty clear that Tyrod Taylor's a better quarterback at this point. And so if you're trying to win games, yeah, that seems pretty clear to me. But maybe they weren't trying to win games. So
yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe they're waiting for Christmas to hit so they could get all the merch stuff out and then switch back to trying to win again. But you like, the Rams are clearly built around their offense. They're clearly built around four guys. And I just don't know if that's enough to carry them, you know, deep into the postseason. And the one thing I just think is interesting is all four of them never really have great games all at the same time. Like, Williams had three touchdowns today. Nacua had 118 yards, although 80 of it was on one catch. And then Cooper Kupp had 4 for 27. He had a touchdown, but he had 4 for 27. It feels like two guys always have a great game and one guy gets left out, or, you know, one guy has a great game, the other two are left picking up the scraps. It just feels odd to me that it's never all three guys breaking out in the same game.
Rich Rebar and I actually talked about that several Thursday podcasts in a row, is that he mentioned he likened it to the Seahawks in the heyday of Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, is you were just trying to pick, is it a DK Metcalf game or is it a Tyler Lockett game? And that's kind of where we are with the Rams. What I will say is, because Kupp caught that touchdown and Nacua had that long catch and got over 100 yards, they both got there today. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it wasn't a great game for Kupp. You know, cups statistically, but, you know, there you are. But yeah, so they both got there today, but you're right. There has been this kind of your turn, my turn going on with that team. And they might need more than that as they head here into the playoffs. The last kind of part of the playoff race to talk about here is the NFC South, saving the best for last. The question in here from Tristan, is there a chance that the NFC South champion has a losing record as per tradition? There is a chance, I suppose, right? If the Falcons beat the Saints and the Panthers beat the Bucks, I think the Bucks would win the division with a losing record. I think that's kind of,
yeah, you have 3-8-9 teams, right? If that were to happen, the Falcons, the Buccaneers, and the Saints would all be 8-9.
So I think we know what we're rooting for next week. I think we found our rooting interests for next week. The Bucs could have locked up the division this week, and then they almost no-showed for this game against the Saints. It ended up looking closer late because they got that long touchdown to Chris Godwin, but it was not as close as the score indicates. This was Baker Mayfield's worst game in weeks. Like, this was the worst we've seen him play in a long time. All of that said, the Bucs still win the division if they beat the Panthers next week. They're still in a good spot. Despite this win, the Saints still need to beat the Falcons and get some help to get in. So not much changed, even though the Saints went in there and had a massive win. So that's, you know, odd, but still, it was a good spot for the Saints. It was a good showing from the Saints, and at least they're giving themselves a shot. That said, they might not have Alvin Kamara moving forward, and that could be interesting as we head into this final week.
Yeah, that's a tough one, it's just games like that are weird because it's not a win and end situation for them, right? Like, you also have to hope Tampa Bay loses to Carolina, who talked about earlier is, you know, the worst team in football, and they gifted the Bears the first overall pick in the draft today. But yeah, I mean, what you saw from them today at least maybe gives you a glimmer of hope moving forward to next season, and maybe they try to build on this, but. Yeah, if you're Tampa Bay, I mean, you were down 20-0 with like 5 minutes to go. It wasn't even close. Then you got some garbage time points to at least make it look somewhat close. But Yeah, that, I mean, that's also the variance of Baker Mayfield, right? I think he's been riding a hot streak for the last 6 or 7 weeks. He's looked like a guy who, if it wasn't for, you know, Joe Flacco or DeMar Hamlin, probably has a shot at comeback player of the year. And he kind of fell back into some of his old habits. So it'll be interesting to see what they do next week. Because I think Carolina is a team that they could beat. They could use, kind of as a tune-up game moving forward, as a situation to get their offense and their defense back on the right track. But, yeah, for a game where you could have definitively just won the NFC South outright, you could have sat everybody next week against a bad Panthers team and really given yourself a quasi-bye week heading into a home playoff game against the Eagles or the Cowboys. It's kind of a missed opportunity for that team.
Yeah, absolutely. It was just a weird no-show. And I mean, speaking of no-shows, we saw the same thing from the Falcons against the Bears. And to be fair to the Falcons, and I've been saying this for weeks now, I know you can attest, the Bears are a better team than what the public thinks of them. In fact, the Bears are still technically alive for the playoffs. They're not really alive for the playoffs. The Falcons pretty much are not really alive for the playoffs either. But both of those teams are still technically alive for the playoffs where they are. The Bears would be maybe in position to make the playoffs if they don't give away two wins the way they did against the Lions. And I'm forgetting on the other team. I believe it's the Browns they gave away a win against. And so if they could be like, they could be in the playoffs at this point if they didn't. So the Bears are a good team. That makes, you mentioned they have the number one pick. The fact that they are actually a pretty solid team makes their decision that they have with the number one pick and with Justin Fields, that makes that very interesting moving forward. That is an off-season conversation. We don't need to talk about it now, but it does make it very interesting. However, for the Falcons, I mean, get a quarterback. Can we just get a quarterback to this team? Like, it seems like Arthur Smith's going to stick around. Can we get him a quarterback? Can we see what what this offense looks like with an actual functional quarterback? Because this is, it's just not working.
No, I mean, Taylor Heineke was 10 of 29. Like, I don't, like, that's bad. Like, if a quarterback's under 50%, that's terrible. He was under 40% today before they mercifully pulled him out for Desmond Ridder at the end. But, I mean, this is a team that was built this way, though, right? Like, they chose to go into the last few off seasons without adding a quarterback. And maybe they truly believed that Desmond Ridder could be the guy with a year of seasoning behind Marcus Mariota last year. Or maybe they thought what they saw last year gave them a chance to really build on it the way Washington thought Sam Howell could really build on a rookie year of sitting on the bench this year. And both guys have proven that's not the case. And unfortunately for Atlanta right now, sitting at 7-9, they're not in a place where they can be in the Caleb Williams or Drake May sweepstakes. And if you're Arthur Smith, or if you're that front office, you've had multiple top 10 picks the last couple of years. You've had the opportunity to kind of get in the sweepstakes for some of the other top quarterbacks that have come out the last few years. And instead, you have a running back who he did get 15 carries today. They're finally using him, you know, this late in the season. You have a wide receiver who did get targeted 10 times today. And you have Kyle Pitts, who had one catch for 5 yards. I mean, you have three offensive weapons right now that you've used top 10 picks on, and you don't have anybody give them the ball. And unfortunately, you've built this weird imbalanced roster where, because of your schedule and because of the situation you were handed this year, you're now not in a situation where you can go out and get a top quarterback that you can build around and have grow with these guys. And I just don't know where they turn from here. Like, do they try and add a veteran guy? Do they see if adding someone, you know, kind of that mid-tier, maybe Russell Wilson, who we know he's going to be on his way out of Denver, is that kind of the route they go because they seem kind of ready otherwise?
I keep thinking back to this, and I think back to this with a lot of teams, but I'm pretty sure, if I'm remembering correctly, that Arthur Blank came out when all the Lamar Jackson stuff's going. And I kind of fall into the camp of Lamar Jackson was never leaving Baltimore. And so some of this criticism of GMs not going after him is, you know, it's not as warranted as it may otherwise be. But Arthur Blank flatly came out and said, yeah, we're not interested in doing that, if I'm remembering correctly, all the way back to April. And with their quarterback situation and with what they ended up doing in the draft and with the talent they have on offense, with the good offensive line that they have, with their defense that played better this year, they were able to really fix that defense. It's not a great defense, but it's at least a serviceable defense. If they had Lamar Jackson, they're in the playoffs. They win this division, no chance. Like, if you're not even going to make a play at that, it raises questions for me about kind of where we think we are and what we're doing with this team. But yeah, they need a quarterback. It's going to be tough to get. I'm glad you called out Russell Wilson. Maybe that's the one. Are we going to see, we're going to see Russ in Atlanta? It'll probably be the exact same offense if we see Russ in Atlanta.
Yeah, I don't know if that improves it that much. I mean, whoever goes after him, I don't think their win total is going to increase that and that much. But it will be exciting, and it will sell some jerseys in the offseason.
There will be more deep shots. I wonder, I mean, yeah, could we get the best version of Arthur Smith and Ryan Tannehill? Could that be what the Russ situation is, especially with the what I think the talent they have? I don't know about Kyle Pitts at this point, but Drake London's a good receiver. Like, Drake London is definitely a number one wide receiver. Bijan Robinson's a good running back. Yeah, maybe it'll be interesting. I'm talking myself into Russell Wilson. Please, Tucker, do not let me bet on the Russell Wilson Falcons next year. Don't let me bet on their win total. Don't let me bet on them making the playoffs, because if that's the case, I will be betting on them. I already know it. I'm going to lose so much money if that ends up happening. You ruined my new year thinking about it. You've ruined my new year thinking about it. But that's about it for us. We still have a bit of the playoff picture to play out here in week 17 with the Vikings and Packers. That will change up some things. And then we don't even know what the schedule is for next week or when people are playing. Like I said, I assume that the Bills and Dolphins will be Sunday night. But yeah, we don't really know. There'll be some Saturday games. We don't know what those are. So all of that, we wait with you to find out what all of that is. Remember, you can go over to Sharp Football Analysis and get started in early on our postseason package. If you sign up for the weekly package, you'll get week 18, all of our week 18 fantasy and betting recommendations. You'll get that for free. Use code GET71. You'll get 71% off. You can go to YouTube. You search Warren Sharp. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel. You get notified when we go live. We do this podcast at 7:30 every single Sunday. We're going to keep doing it through the playoffs. So, you know, make sure you come and join us there and come back next week as we talk about all the wild things that are going to happen in week 18. We'll talk to you then.